Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spider. So I kind of debated doing this episode this morning only because I know that despite the name of all the stuff I do being called Tom's Big Spiders, because even back then I figured I might kind of wander out of the realm of tarantulas and start looking at other spiders at some point. A lot of folks coming to me for tarantula information, but I have been keeping a lot of other eight-legged creepy crawlies lately that I'm absolutely enamored with. So I've been keeping a lot of huntsmen, and I've been keeping a lot of curtain web spiders, and it's the curtain web spiders that I would like to talk about today. Now, I'm going to kind of frame this around. Normally, when I do a podcast like this or a video like this, I tell folks, hey, I'm not trying to convince you to get one. But this one, I'm going to do it a little bit differently because I'm going to try to convince some folks out there to give them a look. And I think part of it is due to the fact that I myself ignored the curtain web spiders back then called, they were mostly referred to as funnel web spiders. And we'll get into a little bit into that in a moment. But I completely ignored them. I heard they were super fast. I heard, you know, as soon as you hear funnel web spider, you think this thing's going to kill me. I had no interest in keeping these whatsoever. And there were two different occasions where I was actually offered several free ones. They're like, listen, the dealer's like, we'll give you these for freebies. We want you to try them out. People love them. They're awesome. They're beautiful. And I'm like, no, I'll pass. I actually refused them on two different occasions. And I look back at that and realize that, my gosh, that was, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And I realized now what I was missing that entire time. Because sometimes with some of these things, and I know a lot of us, and I want to make this very, very clear. For a long time, I told folks that I'm Tom's Big Spiders, but I focus on tarantulas. The majority of my care will always be on tarantulas, and I wasn't interested in true spiders or my gallimorphs. I was only interested in tarantulas, and that changed like in the past couple of years because I realized there's so much more out there in the world of arachnids I want to keep. So I do kind of keep, if you've noticed, I don't do a lot, like you won't see me doing a lot on mantids, although I'd love to get into mantids someday. We'll see. I have one centipede that I adore, but I haven't gone out and bought a bunch of other centipedes. I have scorpions. I love scorpions. I have, I think, probably 12 species of scorpions right now. I'll probably get more at some point, but they're not my focus. My focus are always the spiders. So I get folks that are going to be listening to this right now going, you know what? I do tarantulas and I don't ever want anything to do with those. For some folks, it's just not an interest. I get it. I totally get it. For other folks, I've heard from many, many, many people that came to the tarantula hobby being originally arachnophobic. They are over their arachnophobia as far as tarantulas are concerned. However, other spiders, true spiders, trapdoor spiders, megalomorphi, all of those freak them out. And I will say that for anybody afraid of what looks like true spiders, again, they're not true spiders, we'll get into that in a moment, the curtain web spiders are their worst nightmare. They are big. They are huge. And I'm finding out now just how, a lot of times we talk about when people discuss the max sizes of spiders, they usually don't get that big. So if somebody says, oh, this species gets to be 11 to 12 inches, you can expect 9 to 10, which is still a huge spider. But more often than not, that's the size range you're looking at. And with these guys, I had heard some sizes that they could grow up to, and I'm finding that a couple of them are already far surpassed that. So when you take the fact that these spiders are indeed lightning fast, they are very, very large, that's a bad combination for somebody who's not yet completely gotten over their arachnophobia. So let's get that out of there. And so I understand why folks that are looking at those are going, nope, that are still somewhat scared of spiders, probably not a good idea to start with them yet. I can tell you that was one of the factors when I was offered these originally, because although I was over my fear of tarantulas, the idea of dealing with something that I'd read was super venomous bite and was super fast, and I'd heard aggressive, there's that word, although I kind of took that with a grain of salt. I figured they might be a bit defensive. That was enough of a turnoff for me to ignore them for quite some time. But then I finally got one and I started raising it up and I realized these really aren't that bad. So as always, when I talk about any species, I try to give the most accurate, realistic account of their behavior and what to expect with them. And we also break down things in terms of like their mobility and okay, they're fast, but can they climb, stuff like that. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And again, I hope that some folks hear this and go out and give them a try and then let me know what they think of them. And folks that listen to this and go, hey, sounds really cool, I'm going to encourage people to go over and check out a couple of my videos on YouTube where I show what they look like because they're stunning. I think, unfortunately, once you see how quickly they move, a lot of people are going to be like, hey, this sounds great. They're going to see them hunting and go, yep, never mind, no way. And I totally understand understand. I want to make that very, very clear. I'm not trying to convince everybody. What I'm trying to do is convince those folks who are on the fence, who have looked at them, who might be at that point, to kind of maybe give it a shot and try one out. So the first thing that always comes up when I post these is, are they tarantulas or are they true spiders? The answer to that is neither. Curtain web spiders are in the family Diplurridae. They are the same infraorder as tarantulas, which is Mygalomorphae. And basically what this means is they are very primitive spiders. They have chloricera that move up and down, so they stab, as opposed to true spiders that kind of move side to side, almost pinch. They also have two pairs of book lungs, and that's an oversimplification of it. There are other things, including spinnerets, that can come into play, things like that. But just to give you, normally when you're talking about separating tarantulas from true spiders, you're looking at the movement of the chloricera. That's the most obvious one. And unfortunately, for years, they were in the same family as the funnel web spiders, the Sydney's funnel web, the ones that people hear of that are just flat out deadly. So they were often sold in the U.S. and they're still in many instances, and I'm not sure about, you know, feel free, folks overseas and other countries, to chime in what they're sold as. They're often sold as funnel web spiders, which immediately when people hear that, they go, oh gosh, forget it, fast, dangerous, no way. Kind of very similar to back in the day with wandering spiders. Anytime you see somebody selling something that was wandering spider, I avoided it like the plague, because I don't want something that's fast, potentially defensive, and has a deadly bite. And then what ended up happening is they reclassified a couple of them, and the majority of the ones in the hobby today are not deadly at all. And the one that is considered to be deadly was moved to Phenutria, which is the Brazilian wandering spider. So there's a way to kind of decide, all right, some of them are deadly, some of them not. Kind of like old worlds and new worlds, but we're talking about ones that are super toxic compared to ones that might not be. You know, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be a pleasant bite. They're big spiders, but you're not going to die from it. You're not going to be in any medical danger. So I think it's a lot like that, where, again, another type of spider that I ignored because I thought they were dangerous. Same type of thing when we're talking about funnel web versus the curtain web. We were talking about curtain webs today. Now, venom-wise, there's a lot of talk and concern over the venom of these guys. There's really not much on it. So I would invite anybody that has any more information on this. I did some research early, couldn't find a heck of a lot on it. From what, I mean, they were big spiders. Let's just throw it out there. A curtain web spider is a large, large spider. So anytime you're dealing with a large animal biting you, there's probably going to be pain. Now, how much venom do they inject? How potent is that venom? It sounds like it would be, like, we could probably assume somewhere in the range of an old world tarantula bite, around there, but there's not a lot on it. And that's the other thing that I found very telling, is that when I looked up bites, when I looked up venom potency, when I looked up bite reports on them, I didn't find anything. There wasn't much out there to look at, because that's something you always want to see. There's people keeping these spiders. They're quick. They're supposedly potent. Somebody must have gotten bitten by them. What happened? There's not a lot out there, which leads me to believe that they aren't particularly dangerous, in terms of they're not overly, I hate to use the term, aggressive or defensive. And I will get into that when we get into the behavior of these guys in a moment. From my own observations, they're not ones that are readily going to fly out of that cage and try to bite you. They're going there fast. They're going to get the heck out of the way first. I think immediately when somebody notices the spider is super fast, their thoughts are escapes, their thoughts are the spider getting on them, possibly biting them. And I understand that. I think that's obviously prudent thinking. You want to prepare for that potential of a dangerous situation, and you want to know what you're in for. So that's very important to recognize. They are fast and they could be a handful. But I've noticed with these guys, there's a couple key things that make them so they're not quite as scary as, say, a fast tarantula. And I think one of the big ones is the fact that they have trouble gripping to glass and plastic. So when rehousing mine, I have a video out there, I believe it is my Harmonicon Oipoke. And you can see that although it tries to get up the glass, it gets a little bit of traction, it gets running, it can't shoot right out. A tarantula would have been up and over that thing, no problem. These guys kind of scuttle around, try to get up the plastic, go down on the ground. So right there, that for me is an easier animal to contain and to rehouse. I've spoken many times about to friends when I tell them that I keep scorpions, they're like, aren't you afraid they're going to get you? No, because honestly, I believe you got to be a moron to get, and if anybody out there got bit by a scorpion, I apologize. I don't really mean that, but I mean, you've really got to be almost reckless to get bitten by one, because they're so easily contained. They can't climb the glass unless you've got a larger scorpion and the tank's shallow and it can push itself up with its tail. More often than not, you can just scoop those guys out. They can't go anywhere. The big thing that for me that makes tarantulas a little more difficult in the rehousing department is the fact that they can be fast and they can scale that plastic. They can scale that glass. They can be up and out of the container in a blink of an eye. So when you have an animal that can't do that, right there that makes them a lot easier to contain. Now, I will be completely honest. Say I have a big tank and I have this spider bolting around the tank in circles super fast. That can be intimidating. And if you're not careful, you're trying to cup it, trying to get your hand in there, have it not go over the cup. Obviously, there's still, I'm not saying you should be like, oh, this is no problem. There's no danger here whatsoever. But I'm saying it does make rehousings a lot easier. And there's a lot less to plan for. So I think that's something I want to put forth right off the bat because I'm hoping a couple people will go, oh, okay, I'm listening now. That's a big one. And we go to the end of this. I will state my points for why these guys are awesome, why folks who like tarantulas would probably like them as well. And I'll give you a hint. That's going to be one of them. The fact that they are much more easily contained despite the speed. Now, what should be mentioned, and you'll see this in the video as well, say you're using a plastic enclosure and there's a little bit of static and some dirt particles get stuck on there. That's something to be aware of. If they get enough dirt particles, that gives them some traction. That will help them move a little bit more quickly up. But again, they're not going to do it the same speed of tarantulas. They're very easy to kind of just guide back into the enclosure so they don't get out. So let's talk a bit about the care of them because I know that's something. Hopefully, so what's happened now? Hopefully, at least some of you, I've piqued your interest. Others like, yep, nope, I'm not getting them. Totally understand. But hey, just follow along for the fun. Hear about it. And then maybe somewhere down the line, you'll change your mind. You'll go, hey, wait a minute. Tom did a podcast about that. And I do plan on doing a video about it. The only issue I'm having is I can't get a lot of footage of them. They are very shy. I get some feeding footage. I did a feeding video where I fed all of mine. And the entire feeding video with them running out, grabbing the cricket, running back in, five of them was less than a minute. So that should tell you how little footage I actually have of them. So I'm hoping to put something together so it's not just me talking to the camera, but maybe we'll get a little creative, show like what we set up, show the setups, and maybe sprinkle some feeding footage in there or the few shots that I've actually caught the spider sitting out in the open, which usually aren't good shots because I'm getting it through glass. So let's talk about slings first. They start off this teeny tiny. So you're looking at dram vials. I wouldn't go crazy in anything else. I like the dram vials for these. They work perfectly for them. What I usually like to do, depending on the size of the spider, a dram vial for the really teeny tiny ones, a dram vial that's, I don't know, an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter in diameter will work. You want to go a little smaller one. What I like to do is put in about an inch of moist substrate, and then I like to put a couple little furrows down with the back of a paintbrush. Now, the furrows are so that, A, I can add moisture and have it go down the bottom layers and make sure the top layers stay kind of dry because we don't want things to get too dank in there. And then, B, some of these guys will actually adopt that as kind of a burrow and web around it. So I've had a few different of the spiders that I've kept, a few different of the curtain web, go down, start off in that burrow, and when you startle them, they go down those little holes in the side. They don't necessarily do a heck of a lot of digging, but they will use those little burrows opportunistically to start their home base. And again, these guys are going to web up. So if you dropped one in with a little starter burrow, and that's it, it would probably be all right. But what I like to do is also put in some moss, a little pinch of moss in there. Again, helps with moisture, helps give some anchor points, some places to hide behind, and some fake leaves. Even if you trim off a couple fake leaves, even one fake leaf, just to put in there, you plant it kind of in the substrate a bit, gives them a place to hide behind, gives them something to start webbing under. And you will notice these guys, when they are housed, usually start webbing immediately. A lot of times we talk about tarantulas, you house them and you hear about the webbing species, and I'll get people like, I've had this spider now for a week, it hasn't done a lot of webbing. I will tell you, I have rehoused these guys on a Saturday morning, come back Saturday evening, and there is webbing everywhere. They are usually very, very busy. So slings, same thing. They will usually do quite a bit of webbing. And when they're in those little enclosures, they will keep compounding the webbing to the point where you'll have a lot of webbing up top when you're done. So another thing to consider when choosing your dram vial, don't choose a shallow one. Choose a deep one. Even if it looks like, and I know you usually use those for, we talk about using those for arboreal species, but you're going to want room for that webbing because as this spider grows, it's going to web up, 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 closer and closer to the top. And you want to make sure that you're not ripping all the webbing off the top when you pop it off. So the ones I have, I'm looking over at the ones I had, they're like, the ones are like 3.5 or even 4 inches tall for them, especially if it's a bigger sling. You want something with a circumference or diameter of maybe an inch and a half or so, an inch and three quarters, and then maybe 4 inches deep at least, inch of substrate in the bottom, give them plenty of space to web some plants and let them go. And I found they are amazing eaters even as babies. What I was feeding mine at the time, I actually had a bunch of pinhead red runner roaches, which work great for them. They can take down pretty good size prey items. Worst case scenario, crunch the head of the, you know, it sounds gross, crunch the head of the roach, drop it in while it's still twitching. They'll run out, grab it, and put it in. But I haven't had many problems with them grabbing stuff that's pretty good size. With the really teeny tiny ones, when I got those, I had also bought a bunch of really teeny tiny huntsmen, like so small I could barely see them. So I had a lot of flightless fruit flies. Those will work as well, but no, you're going to probably want to drop a few in. I only used those for one particular spider that was super, super tiny. It was only for a little bit, and then I switched back over to the tiny little pinhead Red Runner roaches. If it's a well-started one, like a half an inch or so, little tiny crickets would work, little tiny roaches, something along those lines. They're excellent hunters, but I have noticed sometimes the little babies, when you open the top, they immediately go, they, and this is something to take note of, they don't try to come out of it, out of the enclosure at you. They're not defensive. They hide. That's their thing. They go deep down in the webbing and hide. And I've noticed that with some of them, if they don't have adequate room to hide and you drop a prey at them in, they'll kind of scrunch themselves up in the corner and then later on come out and go, oh, it's food, and eat it. So just keep that in mind. But the slings, very easy to deal with. One little thing you want to be careful of is when feeding them, they, like I said before, if you tap that enclosure, if you pick up, normally they're going to go down. You'll see when they do the webbing, they usually have a couple entrances and exits to their webbed den, and they will usually go down into one of those and hide, and then they'll come up and grab the prey. And one thing you want to be careful of, the only time I've had any issue with these guys, I won't say almost getting out, but it was a little close. I was feeding one, and the roach started climbing up the side of the container, and the spider came up to get the roach. The roach ended up getting out of the container, and the spider was left perched right on the side of it. Now, luckily, it didn't follow it out of the container. It seemed to realize, hey, that's the end. This is the boundary. I'm not going any further past that. But I could see how it could have gone over, and then it would have been out. Luckily, I was feeding them inside another container, so I could have wrangled it and put it back in. However, something to be aware of. When you're feeding them, if you're trying to get video or you're trying to watch them feed, just be careful that they don't overshoot the prey at them and go out of the container. That would be the only spot I could see any possible bad thing happening there. And that's the only instance out of, I've raised now, seven, eight, and that's the only close call I had. And that was like a wake-up call for me. Now, again, sometimes I'm trying to get footage of them, so I know that after that, I recognized that that possibility was there, but I always made sure I fed them inside a bigger container. So again, just in case they got out, they were contained. So overall, the care of the slings was quite easy. You do want to make sure that you keep them, they give them some moisture. And again, that's why we put those little tunnels down the side. It can become a little more difficult once they start webbing, because again, webbing is waterproof. You go to drop water in and they can, you know, it sits on the top, whatever. So you want to just make little holes down the side. What I have is a little bottle with a little nozzle that I can stick right down the side of any gap in the webbing. Squirt a little bit in there to make sure that it's nice and moist beneath. I also sometimes put a couple little drops on the surface on the webbing so it can come up and drink. Again, we don't want it swampy. We want a little more, we want moisture on the bottom. You don't want to overdo it. That's one thing I've seen, is some people like really keep it completely swampy. I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. It's just like our tarantulas. Let the bottom level stay moist. And then every time you feed them, and when they were babies, I was feeding them about twice a week or so, once or twice a week, depending. I would always go through and give them a little moisture on the top, little dribbles on the top. You can even mist, although I'd be very careful because you don't want them bolting out, feeling that webbing moving. Because remember, the webbing, they use that not just for a hide. That's how they know prey is there. They can shoot out from quite far away, recognize there's a prey at them, you know, 12 inches away from them, run out to grab it because they know it's there. So if you start, you know, spraying the webbing, you might see it bolt out to thinking it's prey there. So just be careful of that. But that's usually all there is to it. And the good thing is they grow rather quickly. They molt. Mine were molting like every, I want to say most of them, 2 or 3 months or so, they would molt. And they put on decent size every time. So although some of them started off as super tiny, within 6 months or so, they were good size. I could see them. You start seeing those long, gangly legs. Those, the spinnerets on these guys, if you haven't seen them, are amazing. They're almost like another set of legs. They are so long, and they're just such a cool-looking spider. So they do put on size quickly. So if you do buy them and they're teeny tiny, know that they're not going to stay teeny tiny for long. I always think that's a plus when you're buying a tiny spider, knowing that it's going to grow out of that stage sooner than later. So let's move on. We've got our slings. We kept them in a dram vials. They've webbed all the way up. Now our spider is pushing, I don't know, if you put them in a larger dram vial, this is why it's a little bit easier if you use a larger one, your spider's maybe 1 3/4, 2 inches now. Now it's time to figure out what to put it in. So I'm going to tell you guys what I did with mine. The first one I had, I was treating like a tarantula. So the first thing I did, it hit about 2 inches. It molted, and it was way too big for its vial. I had it in a much larger vial than I usually put things in, and it was way too, it was crowded in that vial. So what I did was I picked up an enclosure that it was about 7.5 inches by 9 by 9 inches, so 19 by 23 by 23 centimeters or so. And I put several inches, probably 3 or 4 inches of moist substrate in the bottom, put a couple pieces of cork bark. You want to give them multiple places to hide. You can use other things other than cork bark. I just have a lot of smaller pieces of cork bark on hand, so I like to stack them in there and make a bunch of little mini hides under each. So if I have 4 or 5 pieces of cork bark, there's 4 or 5 different little places it can settle down. I glue a lot of leaves to the cork bark so that, again, they have something to web to. If you have branches or something you can put in there, that works as well. And I basically took the spider and took the old enclosure, the dram vial, and I set it inside and let it come out on its own. And it went out, it started webbing almost immediately, and when I realized it was out of the container, I just reached in and took the container out. It was an easy, easy, easy rehouse. Now, after doing this, I bought a container. I'm like, this is the perfect size for the juveniles. I will continue to use this. And then it was one of the ones I bought on Amazon, and they stopped selling it. So for the next ones, when they hit that 1¾-inch size, I decided to put them directly into adult size enclosures. And that's worked very well for me, because once they hit around 1¾ inch or so, or 4.45 centimeters. At that point, they've definitely overgrown, they're outgrown those little dram vials. They can be put into a much larger enclosure, because at that point, when they molt, they put on some serious size with each molt. So that spider, if you put it into a juvenile enclosure, which there's nothing wrong with that, they can spend, the one that I use, mine was probably in pretty good shape with it until it hit about 4 inches. Then it was getting a little cramped. It'll be fine. It just means an extra rehousing. And I do think with the speed, with people being probably at this point a little wary of working with them and working with that speed, dropping them right into an adult enclosure is not a bad thing, because unlike tarantulas, some tarantulas, and we talk about this, and again, I think you can put tarantulas in larger enclosures. I'm not against that, but I think a lot of folks tend to put them in smaller ones because they don't necessarily use the space. With these guys, they are going to use the space. They are going to web that entire enclosure up. So for the juvenile enclosure, I'm looking at it now, and the reason why I'm addressing this one is we have to rehouse this one soon. I showed Billy pictures of it the other day, and it is easily 5 inches. This is the biggest non-tarantula spider I have ever kept. It was in the corner of its enclosure. I'm like, man, this thing needs a rehousing. So I actually just ordered a new enclosure for it. We're going to be rehousing it, but its enclosure is completely, utterly filled with webbing. Amazingly, it hasn't covered the top yet. I can still get the top out off without much problem. A couple little threads of webbing or so on it, but mostly clear, but it needs a bigger enclosure. And this is one, again, we're talking about before, God forbid it overshoots a cricket or a roach or something. It could come right out of the enclosure. So this is one that, it was an experiment. It was the first one I had. I put it in the juvenile enclosure. All the ones after that, I dropped right into much larger enclosures. So again, setting up the juvenile, if you want something, 7.5 by 9 by 9 is okay. Also, the things I use for arboreals can work well. Those are the food storage containers. They're about 7 by 7 by about 9.5 inches tall. They're plastic, a little milky, made of the same plastics like Sterilite, but I like them for the juvenile arboreal or fossorial species. They will work well for one of these. If you want to put a juvenile in it, just know that you're going to have to most likely rehouse when it puts on its adult size. And now that we've talked about juveniles, and again, behaviors exactly the same as the slings. They are shy. They are very fast. They're very skittish. They would rather run than stand their ground. So let's move into adults and what I put mine in when they hit that, you know, 1¼-2 inch size. For the adults, I've been using basically two different types of enclosures, although I'm leaning toward now I'll be using only one. The first one I tried out for them was one of the Zilla 5.5 gallon critter cages. They're like basically glass aquariums. I bought a few of them to kind of fix up for tarantulas because they do have the wire mesh tops and I was going to have to replace those. But with this spider, it's not an issue. So what I did was the first one I set up was an L. sericata, and it was about 2 inches, 1¾-2 inches at the time. And I put it into one of these. They're, you know, the size probably about 8 inches by 10 inches by 15 inches or 20.3 by 25.4 by 38 centimeters. So decent size enclosures. And I found these are a perfect size. And even the new enclosure that I'm using for them, which is the Barbarous or Reptile Growth 5 gallon, that's what I have the majority of them in now. I love that one. That's what got me into the Barbarous Growth ones, was I picked up one specifically to put one of these spiders in because I couldn't get the Zilla one and immediately loved it. I think they're perfect for them. The only thing you have to be careful of is if you're housing a smaller specimen in it, so you're talking 1¾ inches to 2 inches, there are little gaps next to the top door. There's a top opening door on it that are meant for running wires through, and those need to be covered up because the spider that size, and although it couldn't get to it initially, if they web up to it, could get out of it. So all I do is take little pieces of plastic. Basically, I have this plastic I buy that's supposed to be used for poster picture frames. Is basically replacement plastic for the frames, and it's super thin, maybe a 1/16 of an inch. You can cut it with scissors. I cut little strips of that. I take some regular Gorilla Glue or super glue, 2 little dollops on either side of it, stick those things over, covers it, works great. So it's a very, very quick, easy fix. You could probably use plastic you found around the house, like blister cards or whatever, for the same thing. It doesn't have to be thick. You're just covering up that hole. But those work great. Love the Barbarous / Reptile. I like Barbarous Growth. The boxes all say Barbarous Growth, but they're sold by a company that calls itself Reptile Growth. Who knows? They're made in China and sold over here under a number of names, but they work fantastically. So when I set up the enclosure for the adults, what I do is put 3 to 4 inches of substrate in it, and I kind of angle it down. So one end, the substrate will be a little bit higher, 3 to 4, maybe even closer to 5 inches or so. And then I angle it down a little bit. So if it's 4 or 5, it goes down to like 3. And that area that's higher, I put, again, multiple pieces of cork bark with starter burrows beneath it. Love making like little structures that they can kind of web around, web behind, and it gives them a lot of places to retreat to before they start doing their webbing. And I found that if you give them a lot of different places to pick from, they pick one sooner and start webbing sooner. And then I put fake plants in, branches, water dish, some leaf litter, which they do not use. They just end up covering the whole thing up, but it just looks nice. But again, this is a webbing species. If you want it to have an easier time starting its webbing, give it as many anchor points as you can. Lots of fake leaves, foliage, plant, buy some cheap plants, even aquarium plants, something. It's all going to get covered. So somebody asked me before, hey, would this be a good species to create a bioactive or an enclosure with a live plant in? My answer would be heck no. They are going to absolutely smother any plants are in there. So this is a spot where you put some fake ones in, and you'll see they're going to be completely 100% covered within a few months, a year or so. They're going to be blanketed in white. So far I found with the setups, I dropped them in, like I said before, I put them in, and a lot of times, a couple times with the Oi Pokii, I wanted to get some footage of it, so we actually got it out of its original container and got some footage of it, and it was gorgeous. It was well worth it. And again, if you want to see footage of how they move and how they can't quite get up the sides of the plastic, there is one point in the video where Billy's getting footage of it, and it's trying to climb the plastic, and it's having a hard time, and they gets a little bit of traction, it gets up a little bit, and I just kind of knock it down with a brush. It was fine. But definitely check that rehousing of the Oi Pokii out. Maybe I'll put a link to it in the description to this podcast because it's worth seeing. And most of the other ones, basically what I did is I set up the enclosures, and I took their old dram vials, I tilted them on their side, I pointed them toward one of the openings of the burrow, and I left them. And usually by that evening, I'd come back, and there was web all over the place. And most, if you act quickly, most of them will abandon that old dram vial quickly and find a spot under the cork bark. Just make sure before you pull it out, they're out of it, and then just pluck it out of there. A couple of them, they webbed it all up in there. I left the dram vials in there. I'll get more dram vials. They webbed them up so you can't even see them now, so it's not like an eyesore, and it's not a big issue, but very easy to rehouse if you want them to be. The trick is start them in something big, put them in something bigger when they reach that, you know, 2 inches, 1¼ inches or so, and it'll make your life a lot easier. If you want to get them out of the enclosure, again, I don't think it's particularly difficult because all you got to do is drag that webbing, grab some tongs, keep your hands out of the way, drag that webbing out, drag the substrate out. They will usually come out. They'll skitter all around and just wait till they calm down, cup them and put them in the new enclosure. Now, as far as feeding, whether it be juveniles, again, juveniles will take down larger prey. I don't think I mentioned this earlier. So you're talking medium crickets, medium roaches. The adults, no problem with big crickets. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start using Dubia with a couple of mine because they are so huge. We'll get into it when I talk about the individual species, how big they are in a moment. But mind blown by how big they are. I dropped a large cricket in with one of them the other day to feed it, and it shot out. And I'm like, oh, it needs more food. They are big. They are really big. They have slightly faster, I think they have faster metabolisms than your average tarantula, so you might want to feed them a little bit more often. So usually what I like to do is I fatten them up a little bit after molt, just like a spider, and then I feed them like every couple weeks or so, drop a couple of prey items in, and I usually hang around and watch them eat, try to record it, because it's so much fun to watch. And again, it's, I think that for me has been the most fun part of keeping them, the most fascinating part keeping them, is watching them hunt. I take the tops off the enclosure, I drop a cricket in the opposite end, I watch the cricket flail around, it immediately gets stuck in the webbing, and if you watch their burrow entrances, you see them start to come out. They sense it, they feel those webbings moving, and they move out a little closer, and they usually get right to the lip of that burrow, and then the cricket moves again, and they bolt out, they grab it, and they shoot right back to their burrow, and it is so fast. They are so ridiculously fast. And I think that's the part that people find both fascinating and horrifying, because when you see how quickly they move, it's one of those deals that if they startle you, the spider is going to have gone out, grab the cricket, and be back in its burrow before your mind registers it enough and you jump. So you're jumping after it's done. It's that quick. And I don't want to play down the speed, but just keep in mind that if you house them correctly, give them an enclosure that has a lot of depth, allows them to do that copious amounts of webbing without getting stuck the top, you're not going to have a situation that's going to encourage escape, so to speak. You're not going to have to worry about them bolting out of the enclosure. And again, if you want to be super safe, you just keep the lid on the thing, open it up, drop the cricket and close the lid, and it can't go anywhere. They're not going to immediately, it's not like a tarantula, they're going to come out and bolt out to grab the thing. They usually hang back, wait, they feel it twitching, and they go on the hunt. But so much fun to watch hunt. And again, please feel free to check out some of those videos if you're interested. Just to see them in action is just so cool. And I think that's what's really sold me on them, is the fact that watching them hunt is just so much fun. And again, they put on a lot of size once they hit that inch and three quarters, 2 inch, I keep saying it, but that juvenile size, so they start showing the adult colors, they start getting the colors on their legs, on their carapace, on their abdomens, and they start putting on decent, really good size after that when they molt. And these guys get big. That's, I think, the part that's blown my mind. I was expecting 3 or 4 inch spiders, which I still think for something that's not a tarantula is pretty darn huge, and boy, have I been surprised. So let's take a moment to talk about the ones I currently keep. And I was going to do a, like, species by species breakdown of their behaviors, but I have to admit they all pretty much behave exactly the same. I wanted to try to find little details about it, but I'm not seeing much of a difference except for growth rates, and we'll talk about that when I get into the species. But for behaviors, these guys are super, super, super shy. They don't want confrontation. They don't like being caught out in the open. As a matter of fact, for the most cases, if you jostle their containers around, if they are out in the open, they immediately bolt to their burrows. They don't want anything to do with that. So it's good if you're trying not to have a confrontation with your spider. It's bad if you're trying to get footage, because what will happen is I'll go and I'll see one out exploring or webbing, and I try to take the enclosure off of the shelf to get some footage, and they're gone. And this has happened to me more times. One time I was able to get some good footage of it, and it was because I dropped the prey item in, the spider came out into the webbing and sat in the open for a little bit, and I was able to get some shots of it before it actually ate the prey item. But normally they are super shy and will hide in their burrows rather than stand their ground. They will bolt to their webs. They are not what I would call defensive spiders at all. And this, you see this with super fast spiders. If they're fast, they're going to use their speed to get away from any conflict. And when I was doing research on these guys and looking for behaviors, you know, seeing what the keepers actually said about them, a lot of folks mentioned the fact that they're going to bolt. They are fast. They're going to use that to their advantage. They're not going to stand their ground. Now, if you're not careful and you're trying to do a rehousing and the thing's out and exposed and your hand gets in the way, might it bite? Perhaps I could see it be more situation where it runs up your arm and up your back, which probably doesn't sound very enticing to anybody listening, but I don't see them being very, I've never received a threat posture. I've never seen any indication that these guys would want to bite me. And I've read many accounts from other keepers who report the exact same thing. They're going to use their speed. So if you're careful when you're rehousing, working with them, and don't put them in a situation where they feel trapped, or you stick your hand in a situation, like I wouldn't stick my finger in their burrow or anything like that, you should be in good shape. So the ones I currently keep, Linatheli sericata, which was X Megatheloides. Love the name Megatheloides. So sad that one's going. Sericata just doesn't have the same ring to it. But that's a Colombian curtain web spider. These are the ones that have the goldish bodies, the purple legs. Big, big spiders. I have, I believe, 3 of them at the moment. 2 of them are right around 3.5 inches or so. One of them just molted. The molt's around 4 inches. I've heard they get around 4 inches, so this one's already bigger than that. Awesome, awesome spiders. Gorgeous. This is the one I was almost given twice back in the day. People were like, I looked up pictures. I'm like, oh my gosh, obviously I love purple. And I saw the purple legs. I'm like, I really want to try it out. But then I read about them, read that they were supposedly funnel web spiders, read that they were super fast, and thought, man, I'm not messing with that. And boy, did I miss out. I'm glad I got them now. But awesome spiders. Definitely looking forward to see how big they get. Again, what I usually do is they're nice enough to deposit their molts outside of their dens. And usually I go in there. Just be careful when you're taking the molts out because you're going to be tugging on the webbing. But I have noticed if you put something too heavy on the webbing, like if you're hitting the webbing with tongs and it's too heavy, they back off. They recognize it's too big for them. They recognize it's not prey items. So if you reach in there, just grab that thing with the tongs, rip it out, you should be fine. But last, again, one of the molts was right around 4 inches or so. So I'm guessing it's around at least 4.25 inches. So big, big, big spider. Gorgeous spiders. I have two at the moment, Linotheli phallix. The largest is the first one that I got. And this is the one the other day I went upstairs. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw what I thought was a tarantula climbing up the side of its enclosure. And I looked, and it was my Linotheli phallix. That's, common name. I believe there's another name for it, but the tiger curtain web is the one that kind of really works for it, because these guys have the bluish legs, the copper bodies, deep copper, beautiful metallic bodies, and like a striped copper and black abdomen. But anyway, as I was saying, I look over, I see this big spider over there, and it was my Linotheli phallix. And I was trying to get, I got some footage of it, some blurry footage of it climbing the side of the enclosure. I was trying to get a tape measure up to it, but as soon as I touched the enclosure, it bolted. But later on, after looking at the footage of it stretched out in the side and going back to the enclosure and putting the tape measure where it was, this thing's pushing 5 inches. It is huge. And I'm telling you, talk about pleasantly surprised. When I read about these guys, I was expecting a spider that maybe could get over 4 inches. But again, I was thinking about tarantulas where we say, oh, it gets to be 11 and you're looking at 10 or 9. No, this thing easily surpassed that 4-inch mark. Is definitely close to, if not 5 inches. It is a huge, huge gangly spider. Big, long legs. Very, very fast. And this is one we have to rehouse. And I can tell you, Billy is so excited about that one. I came down and showed her the footage of it. And I go, yeah, we're going to rehouse that one pretty soon. So look forward to that. I'm actually looking forward to it. I want to get some footage of it out and about and some type of size comparison so people can see just how big they are. But the phallix, I don't know. When I first started keying into these spiders, it was the Linotheli megatheloides or sericata that I was enamored with because of the purple. But now that I've seen the phallix, I absolutely adore the phallix as well. And it's just huge. And I've heard the sericata doesn't get quite as big. So we'll have to see. I'll be monitoring that. We'll see which one gets bigger. Another one I have is Linotheli species Panama. This one has been the slowest growing of mine overall. Right now, it's about, I would say, an inch and a quarter, an inch and a half, maybe an inch and a half, but it took a long time getting there. It started really small and took a long time putting on size, getting to that 1-inch mark. But now that it's hit an inch, it seems to be putting on decent size. This one is the only one that's not in one of the 5-gallon size enclosures. I tried something a little different with it because it was smaller and it had outgrown its vial, but it wasn't big enough. I didn't feel like it was really big enough for one of the adult enclosures yet. So what I put it in was an 8x8x12 inch acrylic enclosure. I set it up kind of the same way I did my other ones, 3 or 4 inches of substrate, multiple hides, all that jazz, put in some branches and stuff for it and some leaf litter, put it in there. And my thought process is a lot of them, they like to web up. So right now the substrate's only about 3 inches high, 4 inches high or so. So it's got several inches of, it can web up. So although it's not a horizontal space, it's got a lot of vertical space. So we'll see how it goes. If it ends up getting super large and I feel like it's too big for that enclosure, we'll put it into one of the 5 gallons. But I'm kind of curious to see if it'll do well in that setup. It's already starting. It's got like a little web bowl, so to speak, at the bottom of its enclosure, and the webbing's getting higher and higher and higher up the side of the enclosure. So we'll see what happens once it puts on some more size. But so far, it's been good in there. This one, the colors look, again, kind of that coppery color. I did have a male years ago that has since passed, or a couple years ago. It was pretty good size. I want to say it was about 3.5 inches or so. So a good size spider. So I'm hoping this time to get a female because they obviously live a little bit longer. And then the other species I have, Harmonicon oipoki, the French Guianan black and red. Hopefully I pronounced that right. This one is stunning. Red carapace, jet black legs. Beautiful, beautiful spider. I kind of picked this one up. I believe I got it from Tom Patterson a year or so ago, and it has put on massive size. The last molt I pulled out of there was about 4 1/4 inches or so. So this spider now is probably close to 4.5 inches, if not larger. Again, very, very big spider. And it's like the other ones. I believe this one's in the barbarous growth enclosures. And love watching it come out hunt. I got some good footage last time where it came out, grabbed a cricket, and it kind of was out for just long enough to see that deep, dark red carapace that really pops. But this was the one I did the rehousing video of a while back, and that we got some decent footage of, the one that was used to demonstrate that they can't quite shoot right out of the side of the enclosure. They can't climb up the sides of the glass or plastic very well. Awesome spider. Great eater, just fed him the other day. And unfortunately, what usually ends up happening, I have to be like, if I'm going to catch footage of these guys, I have to be standing right there with my phone in hand, ready to go, because the times I open the enclosure, drop a cricket and go, ooh, I can get some footage, as I'm reaching for the phone, it reaches out, it runs out, grabs a cricket, and retreats. And that's what happened the other night. I tried to get some more footage of it, and I have a sliding hatch that covers my camera lenses, and like a doofus, I grabbed the camera, I turned it on, I aim it, and I hadn't opened it, and as I was sliding it open, it came out and grabbed it, so I missed the footage of it. But awesome, awesome, awesome spider. Love watching. I think that's the big thing. I've said this already. The hunting. Anybody that likes watching tarantulas hunt and loves those epic takedowns will absolutely love watching the curtain web spiders hunt. They're just amazing. So to finish this one off, the care pretty, temperatures, same, no special temperatures here. I've heard people say they have to be kept super warm. Not in my opinion. They're kept in the wintertime right now. The thermostat here is set to 73. The shelves they are all on, right around 73. Occasionally it's dropped down to 60s up here, not for long, several hours during the day or so. They've been perfectly fine, no issues there. As far as moisture is concerned, I do make sure, especially the enclosures they're in, have a lot of ventilation. So I do make sure that part of that substrate stays moist at all time. And then when I feed them, I take my little water bottle that has all the like little holes in the top of it, and I spray some water all over their webbing, put water all over the webbing. And I have seen a couple of them venture out and get a drink. So that's it. As far as feeding frequency, I'm usually feeding these guys once a week or so. Again, my theory is, them being more active spiders, they're webbing constantly. I have seen like a couple times I held off feeding them for a couple weeks and they did appear to get thin. So that's something to keep in mind. When you see a spider get thin over a couple weeks, they're obviously expelling a lot more energy than a tarantula does. They're expelling obviously those proteins when they make their webbings. So you want to make sure you keep them well fed. So I feed mine usually about once a week or so. And for the bigger ones, now I'm dropping in 2 or 3 crickets at a time. They will normally only, it's not like tarantula, but they'll come out, grab 3 of them. They'll usually grab one, eat it, go out, grab another one, eat it. I have seen one grab 2 before, but one of them was already partially eaten. I think the cricket ran right into it. So just keep that in mind when you're feeding them. Now, why should tarantula lovers give them a look? That's my final quote-unquote pitch. Again, I'm not really trying to get anybody to buy them that doesn't want them, but I'm getting the information out there for people that might be interested, for people who might have been like me, who if we had heard, I had heard something like this back then, I would have went, oh God, I'm totally on this. So first one, size. If you like tarantulas, you're into big spiders, these guys get big. Again, I have one that's about 5 inches, another one that's probably 4.5 inches. They are gangly. They are spiders. That's the other thing about them. They're not all fuzzy. They don't have those little rounded, cute feet. They are spiders. So if you're still arachnophobic, maybe avoid these for the time being. And again, this would be, I'm talking to folks who have some experience keeping tarantulas, who maybe have already gotten into the old world species. They could be a good jump into old world species because they have the speed, except they can't escape as easily. So that might even make a good spider in kind of easing into some of those old world species. Who knows? That would be my opinion. They'd be a good one to keep if that's what you're looking at. You're getting the speed, but they're not quite as capable of getting up and out of those enclosures as a tarantula is. So size, definitely a plus. Webbing. If you're somebody out there that likes webbing, this is the spider for you. I don't have many tarantulas in my collection that can compete with these guys in terms of the amount of webbing, the beauty of the webbing. They will blanket that entire enclosure. I mean, we're talking about a 4 or 5 inch spider that's using an enclosure that's 19, 20 inches long, and it is webbing the entire thing up. The water dish I set at the opposite end of the enclosure, covered up within a week. I personally do enjoy heavily webbing species. I know some folks out there could care less or not a fan of it. So that was another hugely enticing aspect of keeping these guys, the webbing. fast growth rate. They grow relatively quickly. So if you're out there buying little slings, it's not long before you're going to have a decent sized spider on your hand. That's something I always like to throw out there because, again, I can understand for folks when you find out that they're like a quarter of an inch or even a half an inch, you're like, oh, they're so tiny. And to find out that they outgrow that very, very quickly. With the fast growth rate, do they live as long as tarantulas? No, but do they live longer than true spiders? Yes. I've seen information out there where people have said they expect that they could easily live to 10 years. I don't think that's accurate, at least for captive raised specimens. In the wild, where food isn't quite so prevalent and so bountiful and they're not fed every week, I guess that they could, the lifespan could be dragged out a bit to be longer, but I would think for most folks that are feeding those slings well, growing them up, feeding them once a week, you can expect a lifespan for a male of probably 2 years to 3 years. For females, 3 or 4 years, maybe longer. I did talk to somebody that said they had one for about 5.5 years. So that's not bad. That's better than true spiders. Obviously not as good as tarantulas. And some folks are going to be like, oh, that's kind of a letdown. That might be a knock on them. But personally, I don't think it's that bad. And if I were to, I think one thing I'm going to start doing now that I have two of them around 5 inches, I'm assuming that's full grown, I am going to drastically slow down how much I feed them. So it won't be weekly now. I'll probably drop a few things in every 3 weeks, once a month, see how that goes, kind of monitor their abdomen size because I don't want to trigger that next molt. I want to kind of keep them, you know, not thin, but don't want to push them any faster through their life cycle. I'd like to have some time with them. So that would be something that I'll be experimenting with. This will not be, just to be clear, I will always have these. As long as I can get a hold of these, I will always have the curtain webs in my collection. There are some spiders and tarantulas that I hate to say one and done because it sounds like, you know, I don't like them at all, but there are some that's just like, all right, I raise them up, I like them, but there are other things out there that I like more. Love these guys. I will always have them. So I'll definitely, as I get, I'm going to start buying some more slings and raising some more up. I do want to kind of experiment a bit with extending that lifespan because I do feel like that maybe in the wild they could live 6, 7, 8 years because the food might not be so plentiful. Although I have to think on the other hand, in the wild, they're probably getting a lot more heat, which jacks up the metabolism. Who knows? But I do think they live longer than spiders, obviously not nearly as long as most species of tarantulas. Coloration, they're gorgeous. They have purple. They have blue. I remember the first time shining, I thought that the Linothelae phallax was just a black spider with that orange on it, which would have been beautiful enough. But I remember one day shining the flashlight in there and catching the blue. They are stunning. The golds, the coppery color, the metallic, you just have to see it to believe it. You have the phallax with those tiger stripes on its tail. You have the Megatheloides with the purple, the Oipoki with the red on the carapace, black legs, which is I've always had a soft spot for. Just gorgeous, gorgeous spiders. They run rather than fight. I know this is kind of one of the themes of this one, but I want to restate it. They're not overly defensive spiders. They know that they are fast. They know they can probably outrun most predators that are out there. So they're going to boogie rather than stand their ground. So that means you're not normally going to have a situation where you open an enclosure and the spider's just going to freeze up and throw up the threat posture. I've seen zero out of mine. I guess if you give them, my thought would be if you give them enough room, set them up correctly, you're not going to get any either. And that's something to keep in mind. And then a big one, they can't climb the plastic and glass well. That means you can contain them. That means even if they manage to web all the way up the top and you have one that comes out, if you have it inside another enclosure, it's going to go into that. It's easy to contain. And I think that's always a big factor when looking at how difficult animals are to keep or rehouse or how potentially quote unquote dangerous they can be is how mobile they are. How easily can they climb out of an enclosure? And this was one that because of that little detail, the fact that they stumble a bit when they're trying to climb up makes them, I think, a lot more easy to contain and should make rehousings a lot easier for somebody that stays calm and recognizes that fact. And then again, the lifespan. I know they're not live as long as tarantulas, but they grow quickly and they live a decent amount of time. 3, 4, 5 years, not bad at all. So that's my sales pitch for these. Again, my sales pitch, not really sales pitch. I know I'm going to have people comment, yep, thanks, that's great. It was very interesting in hearing about them, but I don't have any interest in keeping them. But what I'm thinking is there's going to be folks that hear this. It puts them over the edge. Please let me know. I love hearing about that kind of stuff. That's probably one of my favorite things about doing the podcast and videos is when somebody hears something and goes, you know what? After hearing that, I went out and bought one and I'm loving it. I love hearing that kind of stuff because it means my message got across. And for folks who have no intention keeping it, totally understand, admire mine from far, admire other people's from afar, and maybe think about keeping them someday or maybe not. And for people that are out there listening going, I don't think so, not right now. At least this is there for you when the time comes. When you decide maybe that later on you're ready for them, you want to pull the trigger and pick up one or two of them, this podcast is here for you. That's one of the things I always think about when I do podcasts or videos. Sometimes I put these out and I will tell you the ones I do featuring the true spiders or my gallimorphs or anything that's not tarantula oriented don't get nearly the initial views or listens as the tarantula stuff, but I don't care because what happens is those numbers continue to go up as people start moving into it and go, oh, wait, that's right. Tom did this. So I love that aspect of doing these things that, yep, they're there for you guys when you need them. So if you're not planning on getting one now, no problem. This will still be there. And hopefully by that point, maybe I've done an update. I do have another species coming really soon, and I can't wait to raise that one up. At that point, I will probably do some type of video talking just like this podcast, but summing up these points for folks who are looking to raise them up. Because again, I do not like doing husbandry videos on animals that I do not have a lot of experience for. As soon as folks heard that I had these, they're like, please do a husbandry video, please do a husbandry video. I wanted to raise several of these up to adulthood so that I felt like I had adequate experience to be able to talk about them. I think I've spoken in the past about the fact it drives me nuts sometimes where somebody buys something, puts it in a cage and goes, here's how to take care of them, and they haven't raised it yet. It's always important to me that I'm able to raise them up from slings to adulthood multiple times so I can speak with them with some type of authority. And that's one of the reasons why I don't talk about a lot of the other animals. Like, I'm not doing centipede care because I've switched things around, hearing from folks that are a lot more knowledgeable about centipedes than I am. If I raise several of them up, then maybe I'll look at doing something on. Same thing, scorpions feel a little bit better about some of the scorpion species, but others I've put stuff up and people have corrected my care on them. And that's like important to me that I'm not spreading the wrong message. So these I'm feeling confident on, hence why we're doing this today. And I'm feeling confident that others out there will love and enjoy them as much as I do. So that does it for this one. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Next week, we'll try to do some tarantula stuff. I'm still considering, one of the ones I've been kind of batting around is my favorite tarantulas in my collection. I think I did this a while back, but I haven't revisited it in a while since the queen passed. There's been some shifting, obviously. And I'm thinking about doing that just for fun because I always have people ask me what are my favorites. And plus, I have people make fun of me because every time I talk about a spider in a video or a podcast, I say it's one of my favorites because I love them all. So I'm thinking about doing that for a fun one. We'll see. But that will do it for this one. If you want to check out YouTube, I just posted up a rehousing featuring my Zanestis emanus. That one got a nice big new enclosure I'm pretty excited about. And I've been doing a lot of Zanestis stuff lately because I know a lot of folks are picking them up. And as I explained in the video, I know not everybody wants them. No, not everybody is enamored to see that I'm putting up another video about them. But for folks that are buying them, I think they appreciate seeing those step-by-step as I grow them up, what I'm doing with them. They're slings, they're juveniles, we're rehousing them. I'm rehousing this one, and I'm trying to do one for each individual, quote-unquote, species I keep so people can feel good knowing, hey, I have an emanus. What is the exact care for your emanus? Hey, I have a species white. How are you doing that? I have a species blue. So really trying to get those up there. Plus, I bought a lot of them, or Billy got me a lot of them right around the same time. So they all kind of need rehousings at the same time. So I'm doing a lot of rehousings of them. So if you want to check that out, feel free. If you want to leave a comment, oddly enough, you can leave a comment on Spotify now, which is pretty darn cool. I got an email the other day from Spotify. I was totally confused because I get emails from my website saying, do you want to approve these comments? And I apologize for folks who are leaving comments. It takes me a couple days usually to get around to doing it. But I got one from Spotify. And I'm like, what? So I clicked on the link. I go, and sure enough, you can leave comments on Spotify now. So please feel free to leave links on Spotify if you or comments on Spotify if you like. I think that's really cool. I think for folks, it seems like a lot of folks are listening to Thomas Big Spires podcast on Spotify now. So it makes sense that we kind of monitor that and are able to comment there. And maybe it'll bring other folks in that are finding or discovering the podcast from Spotify. So you can leave a comment there. You can leave a comment on TomsBigSpidersPodcast.com. That's my main home base for the podcast. You can also find the links to the new videos there. Hopefully this summer I'll get to experiment more with that site because there are ways you can do like posts on it, like a blog post and stuff. And I think that would be kind of neat. Guys, that'll do it for this one. I'm going to go get something to drink because my throat is parched. I was on a roll today. I think I jacked up on too much coffee. But I'm going to go get something to drink, start my day, go walk my dogs. You guys all have a good one. We'll catch you all next time.